Okay, today's daf is daf vav in Masechet Bava Metzia. We are at the very top of the Amud. Gemara is discussing the question about Chashud Amimona, Chashud Ashvuasa. Do we say that any person who is suspect about an oath, a suspect about money is therefore also suspect about an oath? Or do we say not? People maybe are suspected, this particular person, we suspect him about money, but we still can have him swear, because people make up rationalizations. They aren't afraid to steal, but when it comes to swearing falsely, that they're afraid to do. So the Gemara now says on the top of Vav Amud Aleph, V'elohad Amar Rav Nachman, this the Rav Nachman said, any time Reuven brings Shimon into court, he accuses Shimon of owing him 100, even if Shimon denies the whole thing. Shimon says, I don't owe you anything at all. Mashbi and Oso, Shvuas Heset. There is a rabbinic enactment that the court will make Shimon swear a Shvuas Heset, even though he was Kofar Bakol. The Torah only created an oath in Moda B'miktsas, when a person admits partially. But there's a rabbinic oath, even for Kofar Bakol, someone who denies the whole thing. I don't understand. Neima, why don't we say, Migudu Chashud Amimona, since this guy is suspect about money, we're suspecting that he's lying, we're suspecting that he is a brazen person, and telling the person he owes that I don't owe you anything to his face. So once someone is suspected about money, Chashud Ashvuasa, they should be suspected in their oaths. We shouldn't allow them to take an oath. We shouldn't trust such an oath. V'su, and furthermore, Hadatani Reb Chiya, this Reb Chiya taught, Shneyem Nishboim V'notlim Yibala Bayis. In the case that we saw back in the beginning of the Masechta, the case of Masechet Shvuos, an employer has employees. He tells them, don't go to the bank to get paid. They didn't have banks in those days. So when you need to get your wages, go to the storekeeper. I have an account with the storekeeper. The storekeeper will give you your wages. The storekeeper comes at the end of the day, says they came, and they asked for wages, and I paid them. You need to now give me back what I spent for them. And they come, the employees come and say, we never went to the storekeeper. We need to get paid. We were never paid. So Reb Chiya taught in the Braisa, the storekeeper swears that he paid. The employees swear that they weren't paid, and they both get reimbursed from the employer. I don't understand. Neima, why don't we say, Migu Dechashad Amimona, since there's a suspicion here about each of them that they're not being honest with money. Chashad Ashvuasa, we should be suspicious that their oaths are worthless, that they're not honest oaths. So in question number 3, Hadam Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, if you have an unpaid watchman, so an unpaid watchman, if the object is lost through negligence, he needs to pay for the object. He has to reimburse. If the object was stolen from him, he doesn't need to reimburse. He's exempt. So he claims that the object was stolen from him. Says Rav Sheshes, we make him take 3 oaths. Shalosh shvuos mashbi'in oso. The court make him swear 3 things. 1, shvua shalo pashati ba, an oath that I wasn't negligent in it. 2, shvua shalo shalachti bayad, an oath that I didn't take it to use it for myself. I didn't become a thief who's thereby responsible. And 3, shvua she'ena birshusi, an oath that I don't have it right now. It's gone. It was stolen. I understand, neighbor. Why don't we say here too? Migu dechashid amimona, since you're suspecting him as stealing, you made him swear that it's not in his domain. That means you were worried that maybe it wasn't his domain. Chashid ashvuasa, he should be suspect about an oath too. And when he swears, there's no value to such an oath because we can't trust him.
This is an unpaid watchman?
Unpaid watchman. Ella, so after all of these questions, what do you have to say? Lo amrinan migu lechashed amemona, chashed ashvu asa. We understand that human psychology is that people might steal, and even those who steal would not want to swear falsely. And we don't say since we suspect him to be dishonest in money, we should therefore suspect that he's dishonest in his oaths. No, we still believe he would be honest in his oaths. Abaye Amar, Abaye said no. Abaye said if someone suspected of stealing, we do suspect his oaths. What about our Mishnah? What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said that we make both of them swear. And we said that Rabbi Yochanan explained why. Because we don't want people to be grabbing cloaks. We think that maybe this guy grabbed the cloak that belonged to the other one. So we make him swear. And that way he will give up and he will admit the truth. So one second, why are we thinking that he's going to admit the truth if he's a liar who grabs things? According to you, Abaye, that if he's suspected about money, he is suspected about oaths. What are you gaining with the oath? And says Abaye said that our Mishnah is not talking about an oath to prevent people from grabbing. People who grab would swear falsely too. We weren't thinking that here is grabbing. Chayshina, we're thinking that Shema Milva Yeshana Yesh Lo Alav. Maybe the guy who grabbed didn't grab Stam to steal. He had a loan that Reuven owed him money. It was an old loan. And since there was an old loan that Reuven owed him money, so he went and he grabbed Reuven's cloak as repayment for his loan. So he's an honest guy. Since he's an honest guy, let him swear. And he'll swear, you know, he knows that he doesn't really own this cloak. So then he'll admit already that he doesn't own it. And he'll give it back up. Iyachi, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then why is there an oath? Iyachi, if so, Nishko Boloshvua. He is entitled to take the object. He's entitled to grab an object without an oath. After all, this guy owed him money and he wasn't paying him. So if the guy owed him money and he wasn't paying, he's allowed to take the law into his own hands and to be toe-faced and to grab possessions. Ella, so rather, the case is, Chayshinan, we're worried. Shema safek milva yeshana yesh lo alav. We're worried that maybe Shimon, who grabbed the cloak, had a possible claim of a loan that he had extended in the past to Reuven. And here he's grabbing the cloak. And so that therefore, since it's only a doubt whether he's entitled to it, he wasn't allowed to grab the cloak, and that's why we make him swear.
Is that the halacha, Rabbi?
Is that embarrassing in public? I mean,
it's not you. Okay, but he thinks he could, but maybe he's not allowed to. So the Gemara asks, the lav amrinan tufus memona misfeka mishtaba nam misfeka. But what'd you gain then? If you're saying that the case of the Mishnah is that we think that one of them had an old loan against the other. He just wasn't sure if it was paid or not. So he wasn't sure if he had this old loan. And that's why he's grabbing the cloak. So the same way he's going to allow himself to grab the cloak because he figures I'm entitled to the cloak because I did have a loan on that man. He's also going to swear because he thinks I'm entitled. The oath is a true oath.
But is that halacha, Rabbi, that if somebody owes money, somebody money or yes. Something. He just go home to his house and take something out? Is that halakha?
We'll see. It could be, yeah, it could be. Amar Rav Sheshes, Bred Rav Yidi, Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Yidi, explained, Parshi Inshi Misafik Shvua, the low Parshi Misafik Mimona. According to Abaye, A person who's a good guy is not going to grab money that he wasn't entitled to. So if he has a loan on somebody else and that guy hasn't paid him, then he could grab it because he is entitled to it. But if he's not sure whether he is owed the money, he would be willing to grab it, but he wouldn't be willing to swear. My time or why? Because mamon isei bechazara. In terms of money, he would think to himself, even if I'm wrong, if it turns out that I wasn't entitled to this money, turns out that that loan had been paid back, but I can always return it. So I grabbed it, I could return it. However, shvua, but to swear that I'm entitled to it, if it's a false oath, and I can't return the oath, the oath is done. Shvua lesei bechazara. So that's why when we put an oath on him, he would step away and he wouldn't continue forward.
So I grab the money, now I have it in my hand, and I love Araya. Now, I don't have to swear. He has nothing to swear because he has it now.
That's the next sugya. Okay, so again, the Gemara ended off saying that this question, if someone is suspect about money, is their oath now valueless, is an argument. It's an argument in Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't say that. We say people are suspect about money, but they are still going to be honest in their oath. And therefore, the case of the Mishnah is that we're worried that person number two is just the thief, that he grabbed the possessions of somebody else. Since he's still credible in an oath, the Mishnah put on him an oath. That's going to cause him to admit, because he'll be honest in the oath. Abaye said someone who is suspect about money would also lie in an oath. So the case of the Mishnah is clearly not that a man was a thief. The case of the Mishnah was that the man thought that he was entitled to the money because there was a possible loan. And because there was a possible loan, so he thought he was entitled to take the cloak to repay the loan. So that he might justify to himself to take the cloak because he thinks he's probably right. He figures even if I'm wrong, I can pay it back. But he won't, because of a possibility of being right, take an oath because that right away would be a problem. And that's when the sages make him swear that in fact he's entitled to it. And if he's not, he's going to give it back.
Isn't that a kind of stealing?
But we understand people.
Put the words in your hand and
yeah, but in his own mind, he's not a thief, and that's a big part here, right? If in a person's own mind he's not a thief, then we can put pressure on him with an oath, and that'll be effective because since he doesn't view himself as a thief, he's going to go out of his way to be honest in his oaths.
Most of the thieves, they don't think that they're thieves. They think they are entitled to it. That's what they.
Why do they have Yirat Shamayim? It doesn't go hand in hand.
Maybe it does. Next Gemara deals with the next issue. So again, our Mishnah talks about two people come into court, each holding on to a cloak. This one says, I found it. Reuven says, I found it. It's all mine. Shimon says, I found it. It's all mine. And the halach is, it gets divided, and each one has to swear. Boy, Reb Zera asked, what about the following? Takfa echad bifaneinu mahu. What would the law be if Shimon, in front of us, in front of the court, pulled it all away from Reuven? And now Shimon's holding 100% of the cloak. What would the halacha be? Before they swore. So now do we say that Shimon doesn't need to swear? And now Reuven has to prove that it's his. An oath wouldn't be enough to get from it. What would the halacha be? So the Gemara asks, hey Chidami, what's the case? If Reuven grabbed the whole thing and Shimon is quiet, I'm sorry, if Shimon grabbed the whole thing and Reuven was quiet in front of us, in front of the court, so that means that Reuven is conceding that it's not his, it's really all Shimon's. So now once he conceded, I mean, he can't be entitled to it. If he's screaming, hey, this guy's a thief, he's pulling it from me, but what more do you want to do? So my answer is lo tzricha. I'll tell you what Reb Zera's case was. Deshasik meikara. He was quiet initially. V'hadar tzavach. And then he's screaming, that guy is so terrible, he grabbed what was mine. So now my, what's the law? Me the ishtik, do we say, since he was initially quiet, oduye odile, that's a sign that he was admitting that it really belonged to Shimon. Odilmor, maybe, kiven de katsava, chashta, since Reuven is screaming now, igloi milsa, that's revealing, the haidashasik meikara, the reason why he was quiet originally was not to admit, but rather, savar hakachazuli rabbanan, he's saying, I'm in front of the court, the rabbis see the injustice, they're going to defend, they're going to step in and get it back from me. Then when he sees that they're not jumping to step in, he starts screaming, but really he never was conceding, he was always protesting. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Tashma, maybe we can resolve Rav Zera's question from the following braisa. We learned in the braisa, Bamedvar Mamurim, when do we have the law of our Mishnah? That we divide the cloak 50-50 and each one has to take an oath. Sheshneim adukimba. Both of them are grabbing it. Both are holding it. Avaloisa talis yotis mitachas yodoshel echad mehen. But if only one of them has the talis, only Shimon has the whole talis, and Reuven claims that it's mine. I'm sorry. Amotzi mechaver olav haray. Reuven, if you wanted to get some of it, you need to prove that you're entitled to it. Bring witnesses, bring a document, but just that you claim that it's yours doesn't give you a right to get any of it.
This case is finding the talis or purchasing it?
I don't think it would matter.
Doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters. Right now, only one has it. They're not both holding it. Only one is holding the whole thing. So now, in this braisa, which says that if one is holding the whole thing, he holds it until there's a proof against him. Hey, Chidam, what's the case? If it's simply the case of the Mishnah that one guy comes into court holding the whole thing, pshita, of course. The other one can't get any of it unless the other one proves that he's entitled to part of it. Ella, rather, what's the case? Shetachva echad b'faneinu. Must be if there's a chiddush, it's that originally both of them came into court holding it. And in front of us, in front of the court, Shimon grabbed the whole thing. Okay? And what must have been, if Reuven was screaming the whole time, what do you want from him? Must be that one of them, Shimon, grabbed the whole thing. Reuven was initially quiet. Then he started to scream. You might have thought that, oh, if he's screaming, that means he's really been screaming the whole time. He wasn't screaming initially because he thought the court would take care of him. And what did the braisa say? Shimon now holds on to it, unless Reuven has proof. Reuven's oath is not enough. So that seems to resolve Reb Zera's question.
That's a big chiddush, because in the front of Beit Din already,
yeah. Answer the Gemara, lo, that's not what's going on here in this braisa. Hacha b'maya skinan, you know what we're dealing with here? Kigon d'asu l'kaman. Kidetfisu la tervayu. They came into the court, both holding on to it. V'amin and luhu, so we, the court, told them, zilu plugu. Okay, you're both holding on to it, so go outside and divide it up. 50% of the talus for one, 50% of the talus for the other. Vahadar asu. Then they come back in. Oh, wonderful. Good morning, Chaim. We're on towards the bottom of Vavamud Aleph. Two people came into the court holding on to the talus. The court told them, the normal halacha, split it up. It told them, Zilu, go, Plugu, divide it. Vinafgu, they went out. For Hadar Asu, but then they come back in. Kitafis lachad minayu. And Shimon is holding the whole talus. Hi, Amar Shimon is saying, oh, do you odili? See, I've got the whole thing. Why do I have the whole thing? Because he, Reuven, admitted that it's all mine. Vahai Amar, and Reuven is saying, well, it's all yours. Bidami agarta niyali. You rented it from me. You rented the half that's mine from me. And you know what? Now it's time to give it back. You rented it from me. But it's not that it's yours. You rented it from me. So that's what Baisa says. You know what, Mr. Reuven? You don't have a proof. Since you don't have a proof, it goes to Shimon. Only if you would have a proof would you be entitled to get some of it from Shimon? What do you mean? What do you mean? Why do we reject Reuven's claim? Immediately we tell him, Ad ash to chashat le begazlin. Till now you were accusing him of being a thief. You were accusing him that you had a talis and he grabbed it. You're saying it's kula shali, it's all yours. So we told you, okay, we don't know if you're right, we don't know if he's right. You get half, he gets half. And now hashtam ogris le belosadi. Now you want us to believe that you rented it to him without witnesses? Now suddenly you trust him? Now you trust him to make a deal with him without any documentation and witnesses? Until now you were claiming he's a thief? That's unreasonable. So what is reasonable, though, is that maybe you admitted to him that it really all belongs to him. So unless you have a proof that it's yours, he gets to keep it.
Uh-huh. So Shimon being physically stronger than
Reuven
pulled this out. Now the ball is in court of Reuven to prove that this doesn't belong to him.
Yeah, but Reuven was negligent, right? I mean, he had come into the court, they were both holding on to it. The court said, you get half, he gets half. He could have divided up in court. You know, why does he let Shimon pull it away? Why didn't he pull witnesses there? I mean, and he's not even claiming that. He's not claiming that Shimon pulled it away. He's claiming that he rented it to Shimon. He's not claiming that Shimon pulled it away. He's claiming he rented it. So that's a ridiculous claim. Well, you think us that we think that you're suddenly you went from considering that guy to be a thief to now trusting him to rent to him without witnesses.
Easy pay the rent.
Ibai Yusei, I could tell you. Kidikatani, the Braisa is telling you what it really seemed to imply. Namely that Reuven comes into court. Shimon comes into court holding the talis. Reuven is saying it's mine. Sorry, Reuven, you have to bring a proof. So, Da'asula Kaman, Kitafas Lachadminay. They come into court, only one of them is holding on to it. One is holding on to it. The idach misrach basruchi, but the second one has a weak hold on to it. You know, he's barely holding on to it. So that's the chiddush, the one who's holding the whole thing strongly, it's his. The other one who has a weak hold, it's not his at all. He has to prove that it's his. I feel the sumchus. Amar mamon amutu b'safik cholkin. Even Sumchus, who believes that money that we don't know who it belongs to, we divide below Shvua without oaths. Moda Sumchus will agree that here we don't have a suffix, here we don't have a doubt. Tesracha lav klumhu, a weak little hold, that's not really holding, and therefore Shimon has the whole thing. If Reuven wants some of it, he needs to prove he's entitled to some of it.
Rabbi, this is single Bezdin or three Bezdins here in this
Let's
court?
Let's assume three.
Three?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But so when again, it comes to murder, there are more Bezdins than three. Yeah.
That's
right?
Correct. You have more judges, that's right.
Yeah.
So now the Gemara again. Let's go back. The case of our Mishnah is two people come into court. They're both holding on to the talis. This one, Reuven says, I found it, it's all mine. Shimon says, I found it, it's all mine. No one has a proof more than the other. The law of the Mishnah is they divide it and they both swear. So the Gemara is discussing Reb Zeira's question. What happens if they came into court both holding on to it? And one pulled it away from the other in front of the court. The other was initially quiet and then he's protesting. Do we say that the initial quiet and then protest, the initial quiet means he was admitting that it wasn't his, then he decided to make a ruckus, but really the other guy who pulled it, it's really all his? Or do we say the fact that ultimately he made a ruckus showed that when he was initially quiet, he was also assuming that the court would get involved with his ruckus? That was the question. So now the Gemara says, Im tin tzoloma, if you will assume to say, that if Shimon grabbed it in front of us, motzi and osa miyado, since ultimately Reuven is screaming, we would take it away from Shimon. We'd say, no, half of it is Reuven's, half of it is yours. Then, if Hikdisha, if Shimon didn't grab it away, Shimon just said the whole thing is kadosh. He made it all kadosh. Certainly.
How can he do something kadosh that's not his?
If he makes it kadosh, ain't a mekudeshes, it wouldn't become kadosh, because it's not his.
Yeah.
Couldn't even grab it. But im timtzalomer takfecha b'faneinu, ain't motzino samiyado. But if you're going to say the other side of Reb Zeira's question, that if Shimon grabbed the whole thing and Reuven was quiet initially and then Reuven protested, we would say it belongs to Shimon. So if that's the case, Hikdisha below Takfa, let's say Shimon made it Kadosh without grabbing it. Mahu, what's the halacha? Okay, Vandabar Mar, since we know in regards to Hektish, Ami Rasul Gavor Kemisi Rasul Lehadjotami, that when a person says that his table belongs to Hektish, its table is Kadosh, it's the equivalent of handing the table to Hektish. So therefore, Kamada Takva Dami, the fact that he says this talis that he's holding on to is Kadosh, it's the meaning, it's the same as actually grabbing the whole talis, because it's like handing it over to Hektish. And if Reuven. Right. So, and Reuven was quiet, so Reuven is conceding, even though later he protests. Odilmor, maybe. Hashtam yohalo takva. Maybe Reuven's not, Reuven was quiet, because at the end of the day, he's holding on to it. Shimon's also holding on to it. So Shimon's holding and saying something, that's not taking it away from Reuven. Uksiv, it's still Reuven's. The pasuk says, Vish kiyaktish is beso kodesh, a person who will make his house holy. Ma beso birshuso of kol birshuso. Just like when a person owns a house, he can make the house that he owns and he's in control of kadosh. Whatever he owns and he's in control of, he can make kadosh. La fuke hadelo birshuso. But if it's not in his control, it's in the control of somebody else. This talis is being held by his friend Reuven also. So his hakdasha never worked. Tashma, come in here, proof. Dahi masuta. There was a bathhouse. And two people were fighting. Reuven said it was his. Shimon says it was his. Reuven said it's my bathhouse. Shimon said it's my bathhouse. Appropriate, right? Erev Rosh Hashanah, we all go to the mikvah. They have something about a bathhouse. Come chad minayu. So Reuven got up. Akdisha, he said, it's kadosh. It's mine and now it's Hekdish. So the question is, does that mean that he grabbed it all away from Shimon and Shimon was quiet or not? So Parashimina, Rav Chanina, and Reboshia, Vekula Rabbanan, Rav Chanina and Reboshia were in doubt. They said maybe it did become Kadosh. Rav Zeira wasn't sure about Takfo. If one guy grabs the whole thing, this may be Takfo. So if it was Takfo, it became Kadosh. We're not going to use it. Amlervoshi le Rabba. Revoshi then told Rabba, Ki asas kamed Rav Chizda le Kafri. When you go before Rav Chizda to Kafri, but mine, ask him this Shiloh. Ask him, is the bathhouse Kadosh? It was a disputed bathhouse, and one of the disputants stood up and said he's making the bathhouse Kadosh. Did it become Kadosh? Is that the equivalent of Takfo, of grabbing it all away? And it's Kadosh or not? So Kiyasa Lasura, when he got to Sura on his way to Kafri, Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said to him, Masnisin he, your question is already in a Mishnah, and the Mishnah resolves the question. There's a Mishnah, Mesechet Bechoros. The Mishnah teaches, Safik Bechoros. What happens when you have a situation of a suffix, a doubt, whether something is Bechor? So let's say it could be a boy. We know the firstborn boy, the Bechor, his father needs to give 5 shekel to the Kohen to redeem him once he's 30 days old. What happens if the mother had a miscarriage? She had a miscarriage, and now she has this boy. So it really depends at what stage of the miscarriage. If the baby that she miscarried was big, then this boy is not considered firstborn, it's considered second. If the miscarriage was, let's say, at the very, very beginning, so then it is considered still the first boy. So what happens if we don't know? She just knows that she had a miscarriage. She doesn't know whether the baby was big that she miscarried or was still very small. So this is a suffix if it's a bechor. So there you have a suffix whether the father has to give the 5 shekel of pidgin aben or not. So let's say you have a suffix bechoros. That's a bechor adam suffix. Or you have the same question in bechor behema. We know that a firstborn animal is to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, it's a bechor. It's given to the Kohen. The Kohen has to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a karban. If it gets a mum, the Kohen then can keep it and use it for himself. What happens if you have a safek and a bechor? Bein tahorin, whether it's a tahor animal or it's tamim. Let's say it's a donkey. And we're not sure whether it was born first or maybe it's really being born second because there had been a miscarriage before. And we know that a donkey is to be redeemed with a sheep and the sheep given to the Kohen. So now what do we do here in all these cases? Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The one who wants to take away from his friend, he needs to prove that he is right. So the way Rav Hamnun understands that, that means that anybody could be a motzi mechavero. Let's take the case of a bechor adam. It's a suffix whether this boy was the firstborn or not the firstborn. So if the father didn't do anything, so then if the Kohen wants to get the 5 shekel, he needs to prove that this boy was the firstborn, maybe with witnesses or something else. If he can't prove it, he can't make the father pay him the 5 shekel. But if he grabs the 5 shekel away from the father, the Kohen did, and now the father says, give it back to me, you stole from me. So the Kohen now says, I'm the one who's muchzak, I'm the one holding on to it, you need to prove to me that in fact the boy was not a bechor. And if you can't prove that he wasn't a bechor, then I can hold on to it. V'tani Allah, and we learned over this. What do you mean by go to another Kohen?
Why is this Kohen right to the 5 shekel? Could be there's 20 Kohen.
That's a nice question. But once he grabbed it, how do you know that he's not entitled to it? Maybe he's the Kohen. V'tani Allah, and another question. We learned about this. Let's say it's an animal. Asurim begiza ba'avoda. Even if the owner is holding on to the animal and not letting the Kohen take it, so the Kohen has no rights to it because he can't prove that this animal was the firstborn, let's say, cow. But nevertheless, the owner is holding it. It's still kadosh. He can't cut off its wool. He can't work it. Now, v'acha darminan, here we're saying, Takfo Kohen, Ein Motzino Samiyado. The same cow, if the Kohen were to grab the cow, you couldn't take it away from him unless you had a proof to Katani, because it says, Amotz Mechaver Olav Araya, whomever has it, and you're trying to take it away from him, you need to prove that he's wrong. And even so, V'chilo Takfo, even before he took it, Asur Megizo V'avoda. It's still, the owner has to treat it as if it's Kadosh, even though the Kohen hasn't yet taken it. And the Kohen doesn't have the ability to get it back. So what do you see? And even though the Kohen hasn't yet taken it, since he could take it, at that point, if he takes it, he's going to be able to hold on to it. So since if he takes it, he's going to be able to hold on to it, it already has Kedusha, even though he hasn't yet taken it. So the same thing would be with these two people holding on, two people fighting over the bathhouse. Even though one hasn't pushed his friend out, one has only said the whole thing is Kadosh, it should have a Kedusha.
Rabbi, when it says Kadosh,
is that,
no, they're both claiming it.
Yeah, but
when this is Kadosh, does that mean it belongs to Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah.
So that's it. So neither of them is going to own it anymore.
Yeah, well, he gave away what it was his.
I know, but the other one has to agree too, right?
No, we're saying even if he didn't agree, we're saying the act of giving it to Hektesh is the equivalent of grabbing it away from the other guy.
So even if he stole it, effectively, even if it was not his in the first place?
We don't know.
But even if it were not his in the first place, he would still be able to, as the rabbi said, grab it away from the actual owner, give it to Hekdesh, and then it's not reversible.
We're saying, because we don't know, maybe it was his.
But he doesn't even have to.
If you say that when two people are holding on to a talus, and one grabs away from his friend, that one who grabbed it away keeps it, because that shows that he really owns it. So maybe when the one, instead of grabbing it, made it kadosh, that's the equivalent of grabbing it. So this is a proof, because here you see that a Kohen had the ability to grab it away. Were he to grab it, the Kohen could keep it. And we say it already is Kadosh, even before the Kohen grabbed it.
But because grabbing the physical object of the animal, then there was Meshicha, so he actually pulled it. So then he, even if he saw it, he owns it, and then he can give it to Hekdesh. But in the case of a of the mikvah, how can he actually effect any kind of acquisition?
No, he's saying it's kadosh. He's saying it's kadosh.
By him saying kadosh, it's as if he grabbed it and gave it away.
And he blocked the other guy. From
yeah.
Rabbi, isn't the Beit HaMikdash, anything kadosh go to Beit HaMikdash has to be 100%,
stolen
goods. It cannot be stolen.
We don't know that it's stolen. There's no reason to think it's stolen. I mean, there's a title
in.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know that he's probably lying. There's a fight. We don't know.
So even if there's a doubt, it's still...
We don't know. We don't know that they're stolen. Amale Rabba, Rabba said, that's not a proof. Kedushas Bechor Kamarta. You're proving from Bechor. I could tell you that if a Kohen were to grab something away from Yisrael, let's say he grabs the 5 shekel of Pidgin HaBen, we would make him give it back. And if he grabbed an animal that was born, and he claims, I know it's a Bechor, we would make him give it back. Even though we would make him give it back, nevertheless, the animal, you can't work it or take its shearings. Because the Kedusha of Bechor comes on its own. You don't need an owner to make it Kadosh, to create the Kedusha of Bechor. Bechor happens automatically. So, you know, there's a suffix here, maybe this is a Bechor. Since maybe it's a Bechor, there's a prohibition of using it. But in terms of the case of the bathhouse, I claim it's my bathhouse, he claims it's his bathhouse. So even though I'm making it kadosh, so seemingly I'm grabbing it away from him, maybe that does not make it really all mine to be able to make it kadosh. Amle Rav Hananya le Rabba. Rav Hananya said to Rabba, Tanya de Messiah. I have a braisa that's a support to you. The braisa is talking about sheep that were set aside for safek peter chamor. You had animals that maybe were firstborn donkeys, maybe were not. So you put sheep in their place. Maybe they'll be the replacement, maybe not. So asfekos, these sheep that are safek, nichnasin ledir lis aser, they're put into the stable to be counted, and to take off every tenth of them as maser behema and give it as a carbon. If you're going to say in a case of where there's a suffix, whether a coin's entitled to something, if he grabs it, you can't take it from him, he keeps it. So then, am I nichnasim ledir? Then why do you put all these sheep in for maser behema? This sheep has a residual ownership stake in it that belongs to the coin. So one guy is going to fulfill his obligation of Maaser Behema with money of a Kohen. If that's your proof, Lotusaye, that's not a proof. Lemar, that Lotusaye Lemar, that's not a proof to Rabba. Because Hachav Mayaskinan, maybe the case when it's used for Maaser Behema is when you have 9 sheep that are Chulin. And that's all he has. He only has 9 sheep. And this is the 10th sheep, this suffix. And therefore, Mimanifshach, Ibar Chiyuvahu, if it was not, in fact, if the animal was not a Bechor, it wasn't the firstborn donkey, and this sheep is obligated in Maser Behema, Shapir Kamaser. So now you have 10 sheep that are all obligated. It's good that you gave away one of them. V'ilav bar chiyuvahu. And if in fact this 10th sheep was really a replacement of Bechor, because that donkey was a Bechor, so therefore it's not obligated anymore in Maser Behema. So then the other 9 also are not obligated. Tisha lav bnei yisurininu. A person only has to give Maser Behema if he has 10 sheep, not if he has 9. He only has 9 that are obligated. He doesn't have a 10th, so there is no obligation at all. So therefore, it's not that he's fulfilling his obligation with the money of a Kohen. Hadram Abaya. Then Abaya turned around and said, Lav milsi da'ami. What I said was not a good rejection. Because certainly, disfeka lav barisurihu. If you have something which you're not sure if you have to give it as maaser or not, you couldn't use it for maaseros. The time is went to the Mishnah. Kafatz echa min haminuyim l'tochan. If one of the sheep that are already counted jumps into the group of all the other sheep, then kulam pturim, they're all exempt from Ma'aser Behema, because Ma'aser Behema has to be Asiri Vada, below Asiri Safek, not if you're not sure about the tenth. V'yisal kadai tach sveik aboy Asiri, la'aser mimanavshach. You should be giving Ma'aser every tenth mimanavshach. V'yi barach yuvuhu, if it's obligated, shapir Ma'aser, it was good. V'yila barach yuvuhu, if it wasn't obligated, niftar, v'minyan haroi. So nevertheless, all those that were obligated were fine, and this one that's not obligated should be okay. Dama Rava, as Rava said, Minyan Haraui Hoter. So that should have exempted everything else. Ella, okay, so continue Bezat Hashem tomorrow.